Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there is something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's what God promised you in this new covenant. And this is a promise that has been fulfilled for you in Jesus Christ. He says this, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, this has occurred in your life. God has put his laws in your mind, and he has written them on your heart. That's incredible, isn't it? Now, we often look at this and think, oh, God has put the Ten Commandments inside of me. Well, that's not what he's talking about at all, is it, Richard?
No, not at all. John, the apostle, actually answered this question for his hearers in his first letter. Chapter 3, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. So John is just quoting Jesus and saying, here's what Jesus told us. Believe in me and love as you have been loved.
That's what he's written in our hearts, mm-hmm. this faith and hope and love. And we read about that all in the New Testament. Paul is constantly commending people for their faith, for their hope, for their love. Just read all of his letters. You'll see these three things together. And, of course, in the love chapter, you know, he says at the end of that, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. That's what God has placed in our hearts. Those things weren't there before. We had no clue as to what they meant. We had no idea what the love of God was all about. We had no idea what hope was all about. We had no idea what faith was all about until this new covenant came into being. And it came into being when Jesus shed his blood on the cross, when he ratified the new covenant. And then it came into being for us the moment we turned to him by faith. And this promise, this first promise of the new covenant, was fulfilled in us. God truly is faithful to what he has promised, and he has brought it about in Jesus. That's good news, isn't it?
That's good news, and that's basic gospel. And thanks for joining us for this edition, everybody. Plenty of open lines, lots of time on the clock. We want to hear from you. Want you to be a part of this this program at 1-800-677-9377. Open lines right now, 800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk with Don, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Don.
Hi, Bob and Richard. Always a pleasure to engage with two men that know the Word and have this Word, precious Word of God, set into their heart and their soul. I would like to, just by my experience, I think it would be helpful to the listeners that I did not grow up in a Christian home, that we went to church. My mother's a Catholic, never took me to the Catholic church. One day, my dad, a Baptist, I really didn't know what he was, but he read the Bible because, he never shared the Bible with me. I just saw the Bible open, and I would look into it, and I'd see his notes, and I said, well, this must be an important book because my dad read it. So as you come up through life, you try to find the truth. And the truth that I thought was the truth was going and becoming, wanting to be part of the movement that Elijah Muhammad had, the black Muslims. Because I thought that listening to them and being caught up with the charisma of Louis Farrakhan, that he was right. So I saw my friends going to... I saw the Catholics going to church. I saw the Pentecostals going to church. And now I'm down in the mosque, and I'm very confused. I'm hearing about all these religions, and I say, what is the right thing? So out of this confusion, I looked up to the heavens and I said, God of heaven and earth, I'm very confused. Give me the truth. And I wouldn't relent from asking for that truth.
Well, Don, that's a powerful story.
Oh, yeah.
And I think to come to that point and to admit you were confused is just a courageous thing that you did. But God isn't going to leave you there, is he? He's going to bring clarity to you.
He didn't leave me there, and this is the helpful part. He didn't leave me there, and the Holy Spirit answered me and said, go to the book that you saw your dad reading. Read that book, and you will find me there. And that's who I found.
Wow.
The truth, the way, and the life.
Wow. That is powerful, Don. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. God bless, brother.
Well, and you too, Don. We
what an encouragement.
Yeah, yes. I know. And praise the Lord for you, Don. And I know God is going to use your story to impact many, many people. And I'm sure you've already seen that to be so, haven't you?
I have seen it, Rich. I have seen it.
Yeah.
Praise and glory be to God in Jesus' name.
Yes, indeed. Well, Don, thanks for encouraging us today.
Yes,
we appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother, for your courtesy.
Yeah. God bless you, my friend. Wow, what a story,
yeah.
Huh? Let's go to Indianapolis and talk with Tim, listening to us on WBRI. Hi, Tim.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And once again, Indianapolis is listening loud and clear. We love you.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
My question is, are the saved judged?
They're certainly not judged for their sins, and they certainly are not a part of the great white throne judgment. They will experience a judgment of works. It's called the Bema Seat of Christ. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, but it really is a positive judgment, not a negative judgment. And it's a moment of clarity for us, Tim, as believers. We finally get to see how God used us in this world, how he used us to advance his kingdom. We don't really know that for sure, and I think we're going to get to see that and have that moment of clarity, and I think it's going to be overwhelming to us in a positive way.
Now, you mentioned the white throne of judgment. Is that different?
Well, the white throne judgment happens at Christ's return, basically. The book of Revelation speaks about that. It's when, death and Hades release all those that are there, and they go and stand before God, and they're going to hear God's judgment against them for not believing in Jesus Christ.
Okay. Now, works that we have done here out of obedience rather than love, will they be burnt up at judgment? Will God recognize those?
Well, Tim, let's kind of change the way we say that. Obedience is a aspect of faith. You know, we God loves us. We respond to him in love. That enables us to depend upon him, which enables us to be obedient to him. So that's how Ian Thomas used to lay it out, and that always stuck with me, that obedience is kind of a byproduct of our dependence upon Jesus, which is a byproduct of our love and trust in Jesus, which is really a byproduct of Jesus' love for us. So he initiates all of that. Now, we can do works through human effort or through flesh. We can try to do good things through human effort, try to do it ourselves. God, you just watch me, I think I've got this one. Well, those are the works that are going to burn up. Anything that we've done through faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus really is the source of those works, and those are going to remain, and we're going to see them for what they really are.
Well, thank you for the clarity, guys. I thank you so much, and have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Thanks for your call today. Great question. Really a good question. Well, let's go to Joe in New Orleans. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
That's great. I have a question. I've just been saved, I guess, within the last 2 years. But my nephew, Wayne, who belongs to your group there, is helping me walk with the Lord right now. And I call him pretty often to talk with. But I have a question, and I hope I make sense to you. When we die, we're going to go to one or two places, heaven or hell. And I know where I'm going. But I read on, and it tells you where we're going to be raised on the last day. I thought we would go as soon as we passed. So I'm a little confused on that. Can you shed some light on that for me?
Well, I think we can, Joe.
Did I make sense?
You sure did. You made perfect sense, and it's really a fantastic question.
By the way, I just have your two books. Wayne sent me the book on forgiveness and the book on love.
Well, excellent. I hope those are meaningful to you. But as far as what happens to us when we die, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. So if you died tomorrow, Joe, the moment you took your last breath, your spirit and soul would go to be with the Lord. So you would be in his presence. Now, the folks that are here, they would take your body, knowing that you're not in that body anymore, and they would put that body in a grave. Well, resurrection, when the Bible talks about resurrection and the hope of resurrection, it's talking about the body. So there's going to be a day when we're going to get new bodies. And that's called the day of resurrection. That's exactly right. And so you will be totally resurrected at that point, body, soul, and spirit.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I understand perfectly.
Okay. Hey, Joe, glad to be able to call you brother in Christ and tell Wayne hello. We sure love him, and I guess we love you too.
Well, I hope so.
Absolutely.
I pretty well listen every day.
Well,
so thank you very much.
Well, you're so welcome, and you feel free to call anytime, okay?
Okay, but thank you.
You are welcome, Joe. Great question, wasn't it, guys?
Yeah, sure.
Bye-bye.
Well, let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to Duran. Hi, Duran.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I've been studying the book of Romans, and I just had a question about Romans 3:30, which I think I know the answer, but you know, I want to clarify. It says, since there is only one God who would justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all, rather we uphold the law. Now, when it says about the uncircumcised and circumcised, the uncircumcised is the people that weren't baptized in the water yet. And the circumcised one is the ones that were.
Well, Duran, actually, if you read verse 29, Paul asks a couple of questions. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of right. Gentiles too. So the circumcised, when he uses that word, he is speaking specifically of Jewish people. When he uses the word uncircumcised, he is specifically speaking about Gentiles. And so he's saying that this gospel message is for both Jew and Gentile.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. So I just wanted to clarify that. And it speaks about Abraham, that he was uncircumcised at the time.
That's correct.
And because people would try to say, you know, well, you have to be baptized to be saved. Well, Abraham put his faith in God. It was the faith that that was credited to him as righteousness, not of his works.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly Paul's argument, and he goes, you know, from making this statement in Romans 3, and in Romans 4, he pulls Abraham into the story, and he uses him as an example, and he actually says that Abraham believed God before he was circumcised,
and righteousness was credited to him.
Yes, indeed.
It's always been faith and not of works.
That's so, exactly
yeah,
right.
And you know, it's amazing how much you understand when you read the exact word. So people can't argue with that. They can't. Salvation.
No, and all the questions that we have, you know, we may read a passage and it begs several different questions that we don't know the answer to. But then we keep reading. We move on to the next chapter and the next chapter and the next chapter. And finally, answers start to show up. Oh, that's what Paul was talking about over here. Now he's explained it three chapters later. And it all starts to make sense. These puzzle pieces start to fit together. That's part of the problem with our modern-day Bible study. We just look at snippets. We look at individual verses, and we try to make sense of those individual verses apart from the context. And that's not how the Word of God was written. The Word of God was not written in chapters and verses. Paul didn't plan this out and say, well, you know, I think I'm going to have 16 chapters in this letter to the Romans, and I'm going to put about 30 verses in each chapter. He didn't think like that at all. He just wrote a letter, and it was this complete letter that he wanted to communicate to the people in Rome. But we've chopped it up. We've put it into bite-sized chunks, and we try to make sense of those bite-sized chunks. And I think the best thing that we can do if we want to understand the overall message of a letter is to read it from start to finish, and then read it from start to finish again, and then read it from start to finish again until we get the overall feel of what Paul is trying to communicate. And then, and only then, do we need to go in and start looking at the individual verses. Because at that point, you have context. You have
right.
a place to put each individual verse. And any questions that might come up on those verses can be answered in the context. So.
Right, right. I'm glad I understand it now. The Holy Spirit is doing his job like he's supposed to. So.
Yes, he is.
Yes. All right. Well, thank y'all. Oh, yeah. I want to say that anybody that's from Temple, Texas, is a church that preaches exactly like Bob Christopher. It's called Real Life Bible Church, Second Apache, Temple, Texas. If anybody wants to come or looking for a church and temple.
Well, Dron, glad you found a wonderful fellowship there, and appreciate you letting our listeners know, and maybe some other folks in Temple will head that way.
Yeah. All right. Thank y'all.
Okay,
Dron.
Thank you. Well, let's go up to Massachusetts and talk to Norman, listening to us on WARV. Hi, Norman.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
And to you as well.
Yeah, I've got a question. I was raised Catholic, went to 12 years of Catholic school, and at 44, I really became to know the Lord, and I became born again and saved. And so I've been having some conversations with the Catholic priest about, through those 12 years of Catholic school, why was I ever shown that I must be born again? Why was I ever taught through the scriptures? And he basically explained to me that I was born again through baptism. And then I said, but in Peter, it talks about that God is causing me to be born again, not baptism. So I don't understand where they're getting it from. He really didn't give me a clarification. It really kind of blows my mind. I think it's like a works thing, isn't it, or am I wrong?
Well, there's no such thing as baptismal regeneration. You were baptized as an infant in the Catholic Church. I was baptized as an infant in the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand, you know, that going through that ritual, and it's supposed to mean something, but it doesn't really. I mean, there's nowhere in the Word of God that would support that. Mm. So it's become, you know, a tradition of the church. And I think we have to get back to what the Word of God has to say and let the Word of God, you know, cast judgment on those traditions. And I think you're exactly right, Norman. We are born again of the Spirit of God. It's a spiritual transaction that takes place. This gospel message, God through His Spirit brings the gospel of Jesus Christ to our hearts and souls. He does so in such a way that our hearts respond in faith. And in that transaction, we're born again. The Spirit of God takes us from death to life. He quickens those spirits of ours, and then He comes to live inside of us. That's what takes place at new birth. We celebrate that. We can celebrate that through water baptism to testify to the world that we've been buried or we've been baptized into Christ's death. We've been buried with Him, and we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. But water baptism is merely a celebration of God's work in us through His Spirit to take us from death to life in Jesus.
Amen. That's what my heart believes, and it's just hard to make my point with that. It's kind of hard. I guess in the Matthews area, it's predominantly a lot of Catholics and predominantly biblically illiterate. When if you notice some of the polls they've taken, Providence, Rhode Island, is like the worst city ever for biblical literacy at all. And that's, I go to church in Providence, a good Bible teaching church, and it's a battle we have up here. Yeah. A lot of different issues like this.
But, Norman, you just keep telling people about Jesus and quoting some passages that are meaningful to you. You know, what really clicked in your heart and in your soul, what resonated that made you turn to Him by faith. You keep sharing those passages and trust the power of God's Word to do in them what God's Word did in you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Norman. Hey, thanks for your call.
Yes,
let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of this resource that we're making available this month. It's called The New Covenant Journey. It's a Bible study guide. And a lot of the passages that you will want to share with your friends, your family members, this study guide has all of those passages contained within it. So, and it has some questions that you might be able to use to help in conversation. So let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of this. It's called The New Covenant Journey. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, thanks for your call, Norman. We appreciate it.
The New Covenant Journey, the Basic Gospel Study Series, is a wonderful new product and resource that we've produced. It's available now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. Or you can visit basicgospel.net, and you'll find a prominent link right on the homepage to make your gift and request your copy of the New Covenant Journey, our brand-new series, our Basic Gospel Study Series. Friends, supporting Basic Gospel, of course, is a lot more than just supporting a radio program. You know, it's supporting the spread of the life-changing, liberating truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what you have a part in through your gifts to Basic Gospel. And in February, we're offering this New Covenant Journey, so be sure to take advantage of that. Go to basicgospel.net or call during Central Time office hours 1-800-727-2828 to obtain your copy. Also, be sure to check the website for information on our upcoming Bible conference, Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. That's coming up June 19th through the 21st. And again, that website, a special website just for the conference, it's stand2014.net. That's stand2014.net. The resources also that we mentioned on the broadcast are available to aid your understanding of the Christian life, and you can find them also when you visit store.basicgospel.net. And if you would like to review each day's broadcast or a particular call that you hear on the broadcast, well, join our email list. Simply click subscribe at basicgospel.net to receive an email each day with a link to the most recent day's broadcasts. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if the things that you're hearing in this broadcast resonate with you, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel.
Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We look forward to your phone calls and being available to request to offer answers and the Word of God. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.